Today on the episode of The Cooligans that you are listening to right now, we talk about so much in particular. Yo, Champions League kind of lit, bro. We talk about PSG versus Man City. We talk about Barcelona versus Benfica. It is a wild, wild time.
And we're going to take a look back at the USMNT January camp. Not any breakdown. We break down what happened to Pochettino going to the potty.
And happens to us all.
And we'll do some rapido reactions and talk about a couple of transfers going on all over world football. So all this and more today on The Cooligans.
All right, so came back, obviously, from the wedding I was in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people thought I was going to Nico's wedding, which I don't know.
Came back a little too city. Everything okay out there?
Well, I was we're coal miners now. now I went out there to make some s'mores. Kidding. I hope everyone's okay. But everyone was worried, like, oh, my God, the smoke. And the bro, it was perfectly
air quality,
fine.
Air quality,
I not only checked regular air quality, doesn't, like, tell you if pollutants are in the air, like, you know, asbestos from burning buildings.
Sure.
But I think it's called IQ Air. There's an app everyone in LA is using right now. Mm. So I started using that and everything was fine where we were. We were in Culver City and also in Long Beach. So we were a little bit far away from everything else. But for the most part, everything was fine. But my wife officiated.
Right.
She crushed.
That's important. I mean, it would have been embarrassing if she didn't.
She was getting laughs like every few seconds.
Okay. Oh, wait. Okay. Is she creeping up on your industry?
Well, you know, my wife's got a great personality. Sure. Always funny. I want her to be funny. I wanted her to do well. She did absolutely well. But I was the best man. Mm. And I had a speech coming up.
Ah.
So not only did she do incredibly well, she kind of raised the bar a little bit. Where I was like, nah, I got to. Everyone's like, you're the comedian. You're the comedian. And I'm like, So you know what I did? Hit him with the 1-2. I went super funny up top. Super emotional second. Knocked him down. You know what I mean?
And we all, when you say the 1-2 as a comedian, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I went with the best man 1-2.
Got it.
I went a little roasty up top.
Uh-huh.
Made people laugh, had a good time. Super emotional. Had people crying. I had people crying.
Okay.
I even choked up a little bit.
I mean, that is that's usually, you know, people are only crying when you fart in the same room as them.
Wow.
Is something new for you.
All right. So right now it's my best man speech, my wife officiating, and Christian's recent joke. if you're gonna score.
Well, good. I'm happy for you. Our buddy JF Harris.
Our buddy JF Harris.
Yeah.
Big Arsenal fan.
Comic out in LA.
Joe McHale was there. Remember, I opened for him a couple times.
I do. He doesn't remember you opened for him.
He actually did not. He was like, "Who are you again?" But I was like, buddy, and I tried to link him with the Seattle Sounders, right? He's a big Seattle guy.
Okay.
And he goes, they did reach out. I have not responded. I'm like, well, that's
how
good.
How dare Joe? Who does Joe McHale think he is?
But there was an uncomfortable moment in the conversation where it was like, well, no one's really sure where it's supposed to go after this. It's a private thing, so I won't mention it.
Uh-huh.
But it brought up and we're like, oh. And he goes, so are the U.S. ever going to win a World Cup? And I'm like, we don't have to do this. We don't.
Nice.
Come on, relax. What are you, Dan Levitard? We don't need to do this.
Nice little, he's just starting a segment of talk soup.
Yeah. We don't. I'm going to go get an hors d'oeuvre.
Well, cool, man. Well, welcome back. Yeah, while you were away.
Thank you.
Kupo.
Shouts to Kupo.
And Good Vibes John. Came through and did the show.
GVJ.
GVJ. Okay, that's right. All right.
Did you think I was wrong?
I'm like, I just might slip up here. I don't know.
Shouts to Good Vibes, John. I love that, so
shout out to both of them for
gets an applause too. And
for coming through on the show. Welcome back to another episode of The Cooligans. My name is Christian Polanco.
It is, and I'm Alexis Guerrero.
Okay. What's going on today? A lot of Champions League chat. We got a lot to go over because Champions League, this...
Let's do a little temperature take. Talk to me. It's match day, the end of match day 7, right? We're about to go into match day 8, which is going to be absolute mayhem, right? They got... 8 matches all happening at the same time, right?
Something I think like it's that. Way more than way more 8. Than yeah, yeah.
Maybe I'm just confused by match day 8, but yeah. All the matches are happening all at the exact same time. So but throughout every 10 minutes, a new table, a new format, a new
18 games.
18 games. The new standings will be there. I think we know Liverpool's going to be at the top. But talk to me about the format. Now, how do we feel on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 being this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. 1 being boo. How do I burped in the middle of that? I don't know if the fans got that in their audio.
Oh, wait. Did he fart? Oh, my God. I'm crying, everybody.
Oh, there it is. The bit comes back. How are you feeling right now about the format? Now that we've gone through this much and we know some of the machinations of what might happen in match day 8.
The format itself, I'm not necessarily in love with. I don't hate it. I don't necessarily think it's much
Let
better.
Let me ask you a question. Is it uncomfortable sitting on that fence that you're sitting on right now?
Okay. All I'm saying is my crotch hurts right now. Yeah.
Talk to me. Seriously.
You're
going to give it just a 5?
No. It's not even about that. I'm getting to the point. But the main thing is what I miss about the last format was the home at home. The like there felt like there was a little bit of... not animosity per se. I think there was a little bit of a rivalry sort of built within that Champions League group stage that I did enjoy. And I think what I enjoy now is the unpredictability of what we've been used to with Champions League in the past. And that and I think that's really all it kind of offers. I think, I said this before this format even began. I'm just like, you won't be able to prepare for a team the way you could before because you were going to play them twice, and that second game would be a little bit more familiar than that first one. So this, I think, we're seeing for example, we're going to talk about Manchester City a lot, but Manchester City going through what they're going through is a reflection of like the weird season that they're having. But also the inability to prepare for 7 different teams in Champions League.
Right, makes it a lot harder.
And so it makes it...
So on a scale of 1 to 10?
On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm like a 7. I think
actually a really good grade. Yeah. I'm more 9.5.
Really? You love it that
this
much?
This is... Lock it in. This is amazing. If you have a way of being even crazier than this, that's why I'm leaving the 0.5. Because I'm like, yo, give me more of that. I mean, just think about what this is offered, right? Because the schedules are so uneven, we're getting just a rich sort of a stable of teams moving forward. I mean, some of the clubs that are... Think about this, right? You know how many times, and I wanted to bring this up when we were talking about PSG, but you and I, right, we take in a lot of European content, in particular a lot of British content. The way they talk about Ligue 1 on that island...
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely wildly disrespectful. It's a farmers league. You know, PSG have a cakewalk through the whole thing. And maybe the PSG does have a cakewalk.
Did you just say that France is an island? Why are you saying that? England. England. Oh, yeah. Okay. I thought you said Ligue.
We take a lot of British content.
Got it.
Talk wild disrespectful on that island. they seem to disrespect Ligue 1 in a way that makes it feel like none of what happens there is valid because you have to do it in Champions League.
Sure.
Bro, where are the French teams?
Right.
Where are they? None of them are in the relegation zone right now.
That is true.
There is an English team in there, Manchester City. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. Think about how this has sort of played out. 25 down, you're out. 25 is Manchester City. Now, they go up against, you know, Brugge or Club Bruges next week. So it's very possible that they win and they move up. But for right now, the way they talk about this French team, bro, Monaco, ballin', Lille, ballin'. They scored. They were the first team to score on Liverpool in 9 hours of play. 9.9 hours of play, by the way.
Yeah.
What I'm talking about is like a breast. They couldn't be higher, right? You know, you love to go get surgery.
You love to see them up as high as possible.
Yeah. I mean, lift them.
Visible for the world stage.
Lift them. We all want to see you, breast. What I'm talking about is just what no one expected. And this, none of this would happen if we were still in the group stage, because each of these clubs would be, you know, sort of playing a monster in each of these groups.
Yeah. Like, you know, a group of death would have just so been clear, you knew what the group of death exactly
now
was.
The whole table is a group of death.
The whole table is kind of like a group of death.
Everybody's in a group of death, but, and I love it. I mean, right, Liverpool, Barca, Arsenal, Inter, Atletico Madrid, Milan, Atalanta, and Bayer Leverkusen. That's your top eight.
Yeah. I mean, and that might not definitely be the top eight
100%
next week.
But what I'm talking about is think of the names I just said.
Yeah.
I didn't say Real Madrid. I didn't say Manchester City. Those are your last two champions.
Sure.
It's
sure.
crazy. So I think in a game, I think a match that exemplifies that from this match day seven was PSG Manchester City.
Yeah. Well, we got to go over that game because that game was a slobber knocker, bro. Hey. This was a game.
Let's bring that back.
Where Man City go up two goals.
Lock it up.
Lock it up. Jack Grealish scoring. What's right? I mean, what?
Playing?
Playing on the pitch.
He looks like he's aged 7 years.
Saw Mark Goldberg called him Keira Knightley, which is just so funny.
They've been saying that.
Yeah, yeah. I hadn't heard that one. PSG went 4-2. Really, the scoreline isn't what stands out in this game. It's really the stats, the possession stats. What team are we looking at?
Manchester City got 37%.
37%?
Look at shots.
Who are they? Who are PSG playing? Sheffield United?
Bro, what is this? Southampton show up?
This 19 shots to 6, 7 on goal to 4 on goal, 11 corners. This is crazy.
Bro, I mean, hit lineup because maybe it must have been that Manchester City didn't bring the dogs.
No,
out.
Yeah, you know what I mean? This B team of Erling Haaland, my man's gonna be at that team for the next decade.
Yo, you got time in Manchester, bro.
Okay, literally, imagine.
Homie signed a 360 deal.
He is not losing that number. There's somebody who is like. Not born yet, you know what I mean. That is not gonna get the opportunity to play the striker at Manchester City because he's gonna be there for quite a while. But
dude, they had what? I mean, their team was stacked. Kevin De Bruyne, Phil Foden.
This is a strong
Bernardo
team.
Bernardo Silva.
They got players back. Ruben Diaz came back.
Savinho, right? Josko Gvardiol. To me, the biggest letdown from this whole team. I feel bad for Mateo Kovacic because the guy doesn't play defensive midfielder. So you're putting him in a position to fail. But to me, Mateus Nunez, I do not know how this man is on this team.
He is not
of the quality of Manchester City. He's of the quality.
He's had good moments. I mean, he's had good moments.
Yeah, but that's literally what I think we've talked about him well once.
Sure.
Every other time we've seen him. And honestly, I think him going after that ball that Bradley Barcola gets on the end of and runs into space. That to me started the onslaught. That was the moment where there it is.
Yeah.
Manchester City, who I'm not comfortable saying this because we haven't said this for over a decade, but this is where Manchester City's going to slip up and let the league go. And it was, dude, they scored two goals in what, 4 minutes? Yeah. PSG, what a wonderful comeback. I was so impressed with PSG from the top down, right? On Morning Footy, we talked a lot about the relationship between Luis Enrique and Pep Guardiola. They played together for 5 years. They're best of friends. When Luis Enrique lost a child to cancer, Pep Guardiola, donated money and was very helpful and was there for him throughout a lot of that. So much of a relationship built. I would consider them both tactical geniuses, right? Like they come from that ilk. Mm-hmm. A lot more people would give a lot more credit to Pep Guardiola, probably because of the amount of winning he's done in his career, and that's fair. But I think what you're looking at are two people that kind of come from the same tree. They both coached at Barca B. They kind of have the same, foundation. They've built on top of that a little differently. I think this was an absolute masterclass from Luis Enrique. If you look at the substitutions that were made to start the second half, bro, bringing in Ousmane Dembele, benching him, and then bringing him on, something that he did really well last season with Mbappe. Remember, he would bench Mbappe or take him out in the 20th minute. Mbappe would like go sit with his family upstairs. Like stuff like that, like he's doing. He's really smart about these types of things on how to get through to players. Bro, bringing him in the second half completely changed this game. And I don't even want to give that much credit to Ousmane Dembele. I just think it opened up a lot of lanes for us to realize, João Neves is the truth.
Right,
bro.
Right, yeah. Man.
This kid is a few. He's 20 years old, bro. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that the goal that he scored, I mean, it, not an easy goal to score. And
not at all.
Heading the ball
like with no one around you, but like kind of nervously. No, I saw
pouring rain.
Yeah.
And to hit the ball down direct, like Ederson, there was the reaction from Ederson said like he's not going to be able to hit the ball this way.
Yeah.
So I don't really have to protect this part of the goal because it's probably going to come back to the far post.
I mean, but also no defender was like, hey, maybe we should cover this 5'8 guy who seems pretty good at the game.
And that seems to be the kind of the issue we've been seeing this season. Manchester City, they won what, their last two or three games. So they seem to turn things around a little bit in the league.
Yeah, and they're still on a hot streak in the league, but in Champions League.
Champions League, this form has been remarkable. And again, just the defensive issues. Like, how do they crumble like this, especially having a lead?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the nutmeg that Dembele put on Bernardo Silva? Like, we're seeing players.
It don't look like City.
It doesn't look like City, but we're sort of seeing the quote unquote older players at City just from last season to this one. They don't even look good enough to be City players. Bernardo Silva, legs are gone, kind of like that kind of statement. But Kevin De Bruyne looks lost. I mean, it's not even. Look, he can still pass the way he does. I mean, one of the best creative midfielders that we've ever seen. That's my opinion. But he, whether it's coming back from injuries, whether it's age or whatever, he does not look like he is.
I just think it's what so much is being asked of them. Like, you know, they don't have the depth they had previously, so you can't rest players. Kyle Walker is a good example. Go back like last season, even the season before. You could remember there'd be like three or four match stretches where he just wouldn't be on the team sheet. It'd be like a Kanji or somebody else all of a sudden.
Sure.
You're like, oh, is Kyle Walker injured? Has he lost favor? And all of a sudden he pops back in. Heavy rotation, right? We're seeing Liverpool be able to do it now. You can rotate and still keep the same quality. Bro, you're not able to do that this season. And now exactly what's happening is what you're noticing. You've got someone like Kevin De Bruyne looks lost. Bro, the guy's barely been able to come back from injury. The guy's barely been able to get minutes and sort of look around and see what's happening. Everyone around him is tired. People are making mistakes. And also, he doesn't have the cover he used to. Bro, you could cover over a lot of cracks with a guy like Rodri. People were like, oh, Rodri's not that important. Oh, he was a Ballon d'Or. Literally, look at the collapse. I said this on Morning Footy. Taking Rodri out was like pulling a Jenga piece out the bottom. First move. And everyone's like, yo, what are you doing? Don't you know how to play this game?
Yeah. I mean, it's a it's surprising that it got to this point with mainly just like from a roster building perspective. Like, it always felt like Pep was like one or two steps ahead.
Always.
You know, and then, the thing that became a meme, like, we can't do it without him. We can't. He's like crying and all this stuff. And it's just like, maybe we can do it without him. And him being whoever just is looking like they're a little, maybe a little too old. As far as a team that has all these resources and can pretty much pluck any player from anywhere in the world, for it to get to this point, and I know they're dealing with like injuries here and there, but for it to get to this point where some players like look this bad, it's like, yeah, Bernardo Silva shouldn't really be in a position where he can look that bad. Maybe he's the guy who comes off the bench now who needs to kind of dictate the game a little bit more. But shocking. And yeah, like you mentioned, like I think that this Champions League format shows those cracks a little bit more.
Yeah, because you can't be like, well, don't worry about it. We got, you know, some nobody team. I mean, you know, Club Brugge isn't necessarily the biggest club.
They can move on if they win that game. They're going to play their asses off.
Also, City don't walk in as like an automatic favorite.
Not at all.
Not the way they're playing.
it's just the wild part. Remember a couple years ago when Pep said something along the lines of like that he doesn't coach how to defend? He doesn't coach defense. He made a comment about like, I'm not.
I mean, that's that Barca thing of like, if we have the ball, we don't have to defend.
Sure, sure. Yeah. But this is getting to a point where like, maybe like an assistant coach can talk about defending. Like,
how about this? You go cover your ears, go la la la, la, la and we got somebody.
You, like, you might be above this part of the game, but at some point,
when you had 37% possession, but you need to be talking about defending. Because
it's
bro.
Like it's really. Having two goal leads and losing 4-2 is crazy. And then you see the possession stat. It's just been throughout this season. Yeah. Can they beat up on some of the lower table teams? Yes, they're capable. But when you have a lead like that in Champions League, all right, lock it down. And what's disappointing is that they bring on like John Stones, and it's like, well, that we brought you on to lock it down. And where's the mentality? Where's not having a center back like Vincent Kompany shows that we need the coach on the field.
Yeah.
And Vincent Kompany was that when
and
it came
Rodri
to the
was that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Without that, it's like we're seeing sort of the issues that Pep is having, and we're seeing the issues that the other players on the team are having. Man City don't come off as this Goliath when you see the defensive issues that
they
have.
Definitely not that anymore. And I want to talk a little bit about PSG, because I feel like in particular, right, like we talk about like that project that they were on, right? Like get rid of Mbappe, get rid of Neymar, get rid of MSG. Messi, MSG. Where the hell did that even come from? PSG, MSG? My brain is so cooked, dog.
Like, what?
I slept a solid 2.5 hours. Like,
are you concerned about Chinese food?
Get rid of MSG. We gotta get rid of the sodium on PSG. But you get rid of like these massive name players. And the fans, they want you to go French, right? They want you to go Parisian. They want the team on the pitch to remind them of them. The smart move is what they did, which is what City used to do, which is just go out and get yourself some high-quality $50 to $70 million players. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that doesn't seem cheap for people that have the money that City and PSG do. That's actually pretty cheap, right? And I'm talking about players – in particular, like, obviously, Doué, incredible, right? Lee Kangin, I'm not sold on necessarily. Gonzalo Ramos, I'm not necessarily sold on. Vitinha, amazing buy.
Baller.
Bro, Vitinha, a baller. João Neves, though, can I just mention something about this man's game? Won the most duels in this match, right? Won the most tackles in this match. Also, 2 chances created and scored a goal. This man was back and forth, back and forth. This man covered the entire pitch. He was effective defensively. He stopped a bunch of attacks. He was able to help, do a lot of late runs into the box. This man was so box to box, but effective on both sides of the pitch that I don't think I've seen a player like this in a very long time. A lot of people are going to talk about Ousmane Dembele, and I ain't going to lie, if that shot from the angle that bangs off the crossbar kind of goes in, maybe I'm also kind of glowing about the dude, but he's wild and consistent. To me, if you ain't talking about João Neves, you did not watch this game. Bro, this was out of this world. What he was able to do, he was so good where I was like, yo, City, that's the player you need, guy.
Sure. I mean,
he's 20 years old. Benfica does it again, bro.
they announced Omar Marmoush, so...
Oh, good, another striker. That'll help you in the defensive midfield.
We shall see.
They also signed 2 center backs, which,
so we'll see how
but
that goes.
Yo, there's no Rodri replacement.
Yeah, I mean, maybe they feel like they don't need it. Maybe they have a different direction. I don't know, but...
Here's another thing I was thinking. Pep Guardiola's divorce is official, right?
Yes. This is... I talked to Koopa about this briefly. Yeah.
But what if... It's going to sound mad disrespectful. I don't want it to be,
but I have to do it.
What if his wife's good was so good?
Oh, no. You really, know what I mean? This is the angle you're going for.
I mean, just listen for 1 second. You know what I mean?
She was the source of.
What if clapping those cheeks was what gave you the mental clarity?
Interesting.
That gave you the ability to be a tactical genius, and now that's gone.
Well, we won't know until
someone else's
cheeks are getting right? clapped.
Or what if she starts banging like Orange Pasta Coco? You know what I mean? And all of a sudden, he's at the top of the charts.
I mean, we don't. We don't need to do that experiment as much as Alexis wants to see it.
I don't necessarily. Well, I mean, would I watch? I mean, I'm not opposed to it. I'm just saying, what if that was the case?
What if? I mean, look, you're just asking questions. Right?
I'm throwing these out into the universe and expecting an answer to come back.
What I will say, it does seem that this divorce has affected Pep very negatively.
Absolutely.
On a deep level.
As it would. They've been together for 30 years.
I mean, of course.
And it was because he's too addicted to football.
I mean that's probably every single manager in every league in the world. I mean, how are you... You don't get to that
significant
position.
Significant others. Do you need them? You got trophies, buddy.
We're just asking questions, you know? Are our significant others holding us back? Right?
Okay. I'm sure there's someone in a high position, man or woman, whose significant other, their head game is so strong that it makes them a better leader.
Gotcha. All right.
I bet you that's the case somewhere.
Is that why Bill Clinton was such a great president?
Yo, he was getting it from all angles. He's like, yo, we should deregulate something today. Feeling deregulated.
The 9-goal thriller, real quick, the 9-goal thriller, Barcelona, Benfica on Tuesday was one of the craziest games I think I've ever seen. And we just saw the Clásico, the Supercopa, right? So the fact that there are a couple of questions. Why are Barcelona giving up all these goals? And then, how are they able?
Also, our Benfica. Benfica gave away 11 goals all season in their league, and they gave up half as many of those in one game to Barcelona.
Which is, again, this game was also had a lot of rain. Maybe kind of chalk it up to that. But this was...
Yo, shouts to rain, bro. Y'all really...
Everybody...
Y'all make it crazy in these matches, bro. Yo, I'm talking to all the individual droplets.
Yo, bro.
Yo, rain.
Y'all don't get enough...
Yeah, you don't get enough
flowers, bro. Flowers. You make the flowers, bro.
We wouldn't have flowers if it wasn't for you, Rain.
Bro, now that I think about it, why would you get flowers? You make the flowers. You give us the flowers.
Thank you, Rain, bro.
Damn, it's been
overlooked for way too long.
For real, bro.
Underrated, Rain.
Yeah,
dog.
We ain't talking enough about Rain,
but
bro.
But the ability of players to shine in these moments when you have. Your goalkeeper ripping cigs. Obviously the
he don't call it that,
but he was obviously awful and make mainly two terrible mistakes.
I will say Tony Meola did a really good job of defending him because no one does this, right? No one defends the goalkeeper, right? Because he certainly made mistakes, but it wasn't all his fault. He's talking about how the defenders were out of position, where would he have expected the ball to come from and where to be and all that. So. I want to side with Tony Miller because he's a big man and can kick my ass. So I'm going to side with him. But I think all of Barcelona watched this game and said, okay, you know what? Let's shake hands with Benfica. Neither one of us did well. We just did not as well. We did better. Yeah. A little better. I know. They did worse.
It was a combination of just poor play.
Yeah.
The refereeing was kind of atrocious as well with some,
At
really...
one point, the Benfica goalkeeper kicks the ball off of Rafinha's forehead into his own goal. This is the level of the match we're talking about
This felt like a little bit of one of those games of when an MLS goalkeeper makes a mistake and everybody's like... MLS.
Oh, if this was MLS,
this
kids,
is MLS goalkeepers.
Retirement league. Fam.
And then I love those same exact people. They can watch a Champions League game and show all the grace in the world. Oh, bad, tough luck, tough play. Whoa, one in a million, all that stuff. And then it's just like, all right, so y'all are capable of some sort of understanding and decency.
It could be two in a million, It could be that one and one of ours.
So, but bro, it's just remarkable defending. An own goal from Araujo.
Poor Benfica, man.
Yeah, you got to feel bad for them. There was also...
Did you see the Bruno Lage, the manager, kept them outside in the rain and yelled at all of them?
Yes, I did see that. Yeah. That was to get yelled at in front of, by your mom, in front of everybody
in
school.
In front of your friends,
in front of
bro.
Your friends. It's just like, okay. I mean, some of these guys... They probably have grandchildren, dog. Yeah.
Damn.
So it's kind of weird to be scolded like that. This is another remarkable game and an interesting one too, because even Real Madrid fans are watching, this Champions League table. And there were, I was watching a bunch of clips of live streamers, Real Madrid live streamers that were rooting for Barcelona to tie the game because they wanted, to help Real Madrid on the table. Yeah. And then when they end up scoring at the end, what did you think? Was it a penalty?
Which one?
The last goal, before Rafinha ended up scoring.
No, we watched it on Morning Footy and I think Christina Uncle maybe gave her take on it or something. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. It's just the... I think because the way the game was refereed,
It felt
like that might have been.
I've been saying it, bro. AI referees, bro.
We need
Siri and ChatGPT and Google Assistant, all their friends, to be here watching.
Get Gemini on the pitch.
Facts, bro. Get Dale or whatever the one that makes images.
That's Pitbull's AI. Yeah, new service. Yeah, I love it.
It doesn't really spit out what you want. It's him saying Dale.
You mean Dolly, but.
Is that what it is? Yeah, that is what Dolly? It's Dolly? Well, y'all didn't spell that way. It's spelled Dale. Dale, bro.
Love it. I mean, yeah, we need Latino AI.
Right? Where's our AI? Where's our AO?
I do know that.
Where's Oye?
ChatGPT, or maybe we'll try this on a future episode, but ChatGPT allows you to speak with the assistant. This might be like the paid version, but you can.
You could do like patois. You could do
You can speak in whatever. Like you could say like Dominican Spanish, and then you could be, and then I've seen one where he was like, nah, like more like Cibaeño, like del campo, like whatever. And then she's like, oh, okay, que lo que. You know, she really leads into it. So, the technology exists. We just have to use it.
We have to use it, bro.
We have to use it for good. all right. We have to talk some USMNT. January camp because there was a couple incredible moments.
It was a very Alexis moment.
Pochettino making himself a legend in Cooligan's history. So you'll have to see it. So we'll get to that right after this. All right, let's talk some USMNT. I know it's not an international friendly, but we had some January camp matches.
Yeah.
So we had some incredible moments. We'll talk about the games maybe a little bit, but we got to talk about the main moment, the highlights, the legendary moment. Pochettino is already, finding a place in our hearts. And maybe even our bowels. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. He's connecting with us in more ways than one.
Exactly. So we got to do a little run that back. Let's go. So the game yesterday, U.S. against Costa Rica.
Mm-hmm.
We have a fun match. The game is currently 1-0. And then in the 76th minute, the camera pans to this, which... they didn't have to do this, but thank you so much for everybody.
The security cam really helps us out here when we're watching this.
So Pochettino leaves the sideline, leaves the technical area, and clearly he needs to go to the bathroom, but we got the footage of it. And Pochettino...
we don't know exactly why he had to leave, right? They didn't say this.
They didn't say this on the broadcast.
But you could read between the lines. I mean, you could see I've done this walk out of this studio many times. Remember that one time where you were talking? I was like, okay, we need a cut.
Yeah, we got to stop.
We need a cut.
This is Alexis. This is, I mean, when we were talking earlier about Tony Meola analyzing goalkeepers. This is Alexis's wheelhouse right here, right?
Exactly. I'm glad you brought this up. Because if I had a telestrator, I'd be drawing a lot of yellow circles. It's a little hoppity hop in the first run up. Because I know that move. That is when you are holding, you got six sphincters in your body and you're holding all six of them shut tight.
And there's a, when you have to run uphill and you have to go to the bathroom, it's also because the strain on your muscles. It makes it a little bit like even more.
You're also
urgent.
Jostling what needs to come out.
Right, right.
And but here's the other thing too. Look at the smile from the big man security guard. You see that smile when he turns around? He's like, "I heard you. No, close clear, bro. Get out. Go in there and do your thing,
dude." There. People can see it. People can see it now. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is an incredible moment. This is a moment where how could you not love Mauricio Pochettino? And what made this even funnier is that in this moment, while he is assumingly in the bathroom, allegedly, we don't know exactly what happened. Caden Clark scores his first goal for the U.S. men's national team, an absolute banger with his left foot.
Okay, can we talk about this for 1 second?
Sure.
Okay, because this is important. What happens when I go to the bathroom at your home team stadium?
We all know the Cooligans lore, the legend, the urban legend, as some may say. When Alexis goes to the bathroom in your stadium, goals will be scored by your team.
By your team.
Yeah.
By the home team.
By the home team. This has happened consistently.
Enough where this isn't a joke.
Exactly. In LA, LAFC games.
Minnesota. There was two other ones.
There were two other ones. It happens almost all the time. Alexis.
I have to go number two.
We're on like road trips where he needs to be present and available. And for some reason, he eats the worst thing possible that will make him go to the bathroom during the exact time that we need him.
Now, look, my bowels don't run on this. They don't get the rundown. You know what I mean? They get the runs. Okay? they don't care that you've situated an interview for live television.
This segment is now runs that bad.
that's the sound for it. We know this. Have I passed the torch?
to Mauricio Pochettino. This is, we did see him.
Have I passed the Torchettino?
We did see him at MLS Media Day in Miami. So we were in the same, in the same building.
Right, the same vicinity.
Exactly. So maybe this is where it happened. But look, the only answer I have is yes. I've seen enough. I've seen enough evidence.
Or maybe we need to do a 23andMe back in the day, maybe going back a couple gens. Are we related? And this is just something that's in our lineage.
I mean, you know.
Me and Pochettino.
If you really think about it, we're all sort of related in some way. When you go back to, we all share a common ancestor.
Right. I don't know how many generations we got to go back, but we got to go back quite far.
You know, ideally, you want it to be really, really far back. Yeah. Not too close.
Yeah. But I think in a way I may have lost my power. And Mauricio Pochettino has now usurped me.
Got it. He's like sort of like the Highlander.
Yeah, you know,
only be one with the power of poop.
Uh-huh.
to control.
I now need to go get a leather duster jacket and win this back.
incredible stuff. I mean, this is a an iconic moment. This is also something where you would have thought after the game. I'm watching the post-match comments and interviews. This is an easy one. Hey, Mauricio, you missed the goal. You missed Kaden's goal. What was happening back there? You could have had a fun little moment. Oh, I had to go number two or whatever.
A great impression.
Wait, I don't know.
I didn't know he was Henri. Very simple. Oh, yeah, do not order the fish tacos. You know, anything could have been said in that moment.
Where we connect with Pochettino.
This is what you miss when you don't have the Cooligans on
you
a desk.
You can humanize him. And nobody asked the question. And I haven't seen any, if somebody has asked the question in maybe a post-match conference or something like that, please send it our way because I have not seen it. And if no one asked, then
real missed opportunity.
It is an indictment of the American soccer press corps.
I agree.
That we have that they wouldn't look into.
We're too buddy buddy. We need to get real with these managers.
Are we really afraid of the blowback with the lack of a better word?
It's happened to me before.
Are we afraid of the blowback from U.S. soccer that we can't ask the questions? Look at this moment. How can we not get more information about
human.
This?
This is also kind of cute.
It's adorable.
Yeah.
It just shows Pochettino, he's just like me.
Right?
You know, he has to go to the bathroom during important moments sometimes.
At the wrong time.
So, incredible stuff.
Also, quick number two. He got back out there pretty quickly.
Yes, you got to give him. If it was me,
I would have missed the whole second half. You know what I
mean? Yes, quick is relative to Alexis.
To the way I do it.
Yeah. You can finish the movie Titanic before Alexis comes out of the bathroom.
The Irishman. I get to see. I see the credits as I'm wiping.
So remarkable stuff. So shout out to
your boy's got a lot of hemorrhoids. I think is what we're saying.
Shout out to Mauricio Pochettino, and then he also had another great moment because this is in the post game. This is during the after the game.
If you didn't see Diego Luna's face was completely blown up from a mistake of an elbow. He got elbowed in the face. In the nose by mistake. And man.
We're looking at it now.
He looks like he's in the end of a Guy Ritchie film. I mean,
he just, lost a UFC fight. I mean, it looks pretty bad.
See the picture he put up? He had surgery. Posted it on his social media.
I did. I mean, it looked like he was asking the trainer. It's like, put his nose kind of like back in place or whatever. But a wild moment. But he scores a he gets the assist.
Yeah.
He assists Brian White.
Great pass to Brian.
To Brian White, who gets his first goal for the USMNT. And also an interesting stat. Forgot where I saw this. I wish I could give credit. I don't remember who posted it, but. Brian White is now the second oldest USMNT player to score his first goal. You know who was the first? Who's the oldest player to score their first USMNT goal? It's in your...
Oh, the oldest player.
To score his first USMNT goal.
Is it Dax McCarty?
It is not. It is Chris Wondolowski.
That makes sense.
Also kind of makes sense. He was a little bit of a late bloomer.
Yeah.
They asked Pochettino about this, and this was another really fun moment. Let me move our camera. Pochettino is asked about it, so let's hear his response and talking about Diego Luna getting back into this game.
How you feel? I say no, I can't. Please, coach, let me to keep playing because at least after the half time I go out, you know. Doctor, give me the okay.
Big to personality. Keep,
yes.
Yeah.
I said, the doctor said, yeah, okay, you go in. And the first action, assist, go. And we score. I say, big balls.
sorry. Love it.
This is, you know what this moment reminds me of?
What?
Like my uncle telling a story to my friends who don't speak Spanish.
Uh-huh.
He's like, okay, because we go in and then we go out. And she had big titty. And everyone, I was like, no one understood what happened. And I was just like, why are we telling this story? But it ends. Yeah, he's a funny line. And we all
but I, this is what I love about watching Pochettino. And you can see his face. He's like giggling in like joy. He feels like an 8-year-old a bad word.
Yeah.
But you see him processing. You know, his English, I think his English is pretty good.
He's doing what I think a lot of Latino parents do also, which is they think in the language they know and then they translate.
And you see him doing it and he wants to essentially say, wow, what a brave thing he did.
Yeah.
I think courageous.
I think in his head he was like, huevón.
Is it boludo also can mean like that as well. It's not necessarily always dumb, but just you see his Argentinian the vocabulary.
Right.
Racing through his mind, and he's like, how do I say this on national television?
You know that, you know, sometimes when you have like multiple choice options on a drop down menu on a website, it makes like that sound. He's doing that in his brain trying to figure out what's the right, and he was like, you know what? Let's just go.
I love it. So, yeah, it's the homie Kyle Martino there as well, just giggling along.
Bundled up, bro. He looked like me there.
It was, 30-something degrees in Orlando?
Yeah, dude, it snowed in Florida.
Okay, you go in. And the first action, assist, no. And we score. I say, big balls.
Sorry. How can you not love this man, bro?
Yeah,
this,
he even did the hand motion. Big boss.
This is adorable, bro. I'm loving this from Pochettino. And look, it helps that the team is playing well, even with the obviously January camps. Like, there's a little bit of like these aren't the real guys. This is not going to be a real thing. But to you know, it was the first game was against Venezuela. What was the score in the first one? I don't remember. It was 3-0, obviously against Costa Rica. But to have two wins with a group that you barely know, you probably barely know their names.
Yeah.
And he mentioned this as well, that he was happy with how quickly this particular group adapted to his style of play and how quickly they adapted even when the substitutions were made. So even the players that came on played exactly the way he wanted to play. And you got to give credit. Even watching both games, I'm like, defensively, they were like they pretty stout. They played pretty well. Zach Steffen made a couple good
Zach
saves.
Zach Steffen, I think, showed very well that he may still be in the conversation
I was a little bummed. I would love to have seen Matt Freeze play. So he got his first call-up.
I was watching this and I'm like, what's Tim Ream doing out there, bro?
It's a little bit of that, yeah. But who else are they going to really call in because of the January camp? So
right, like, I would love to see Trusty get an opportunity, but you're not going to take him out of a Champions League game.
Yeah. Of course, of course. I mean, neither their clubs are not required to do that either. But yeah, fun moments from Pochettino. You love seeing this. It makes it all a little bit more fun when his teams are winning and doing well. But he did mention that his message to all the players that were at this January camp and played in these games that, like, you know, to go back to your clubs, be the best player at your club. Like, you could be at the World Cup. Like,
yeah.
It's not impossible.
At the very least, Nations League.
Sure. And watching, you know, I think even him having this moment about Diego Luna, a player who everybody is like, oh, why doesn't he get opportunities and blah, blah, blah. And he was left off the Olympic roster. This moment is like, maybe it could be a very, very defining moment for Diego Luna, because not only playing, getting back on the pitch with a broken nose, but then delivering that assist and just having a good game overall. Like, it was just nice to see. Like, there was these are not the regular players, but they played well. They looked good, creating chances. And then this guy,
Ajimang?
No, not Ajimang. I mean, he was great, but the
Ben White.
What's his name? Markovic?
Milovic.
The guy who...
Right? The guy who got caught fighting.
Who got kicked off of CF Montreal for fighting.
But why did he get called up, bro?
That's
this guy can't even get minutes in Buenos Aires, right?
Right, where he's playing in an Argentinian team. Argentina. And so that was like, who the hell's this guy? And then we remember...
Actually, there's a lot of questions because Pochettino being Argentinian, like, yo, like, are you just calling him? I mean, because Argentinian people are asking those questions.
Sure, sure. If people don't remember...
He played for CF Montreal.
Yes, and he wasn't getting any minutes, so he would...
change his name.
If he faked his identity and would play in pickup games... at like some indoor place or whatever.
Well, so far I'm on board, right? Sure. You really want to play.
You want to play.
It's against your contract, but you want to get minutes. You want to keep that match fitness.
And the reason he got caught was because he got into like a fist fight on the pitch with somebody. Yeah. I think it was like a game that he wasn't even playing in or something like
he
that.
He was not playing. He spit on somebody.
Yeah, so it was insane. So he ends up obviously getting kicked off the team, losing his contract. And then we haven't heard from him.
He went to Argentina. But he's not playing. He's not getting minutes there either.
And now he's on the U.S. men's national team.
Yeah.
Which is...
super rare.
Which is crazy, but who knows? You know, Well, if you end up getting a fist fight at a pickup game and then you're at the World Cup.
And then Pochettino's on the phone.
Just kind of.
You're not like a toilet paper distributor.
Just a wild turn of events. All right.
Super wild.
We'll take a quick break. We're going to get back with Rapido Reactions and talk about a lot of transfers happening in MLS and abroad. So let's do that right after this.
All right, welcome back to the Cooligans, and now it's time for one of my favorite segments, Rapido Reaction.
Vamos. Okay, so we have 90 seconds to react to the topics that producer Carter will be bringing up today. It's going to be the transfer edition. We're going to be reacting and grading some of these transfers of the last few weeks. So, Carter.
All right, so why don't we do this? Carter says a name. We'll go first. We'll go you say a grade, then I'll say a grade, and then the other one will flip. I'll say a grade, you say a grade.
Okay.
But just say the grade. And then we can have a conversation.
Okay, well, Alexis. Yeah, all right, he's yelling at me, but all right. I feel like
say that right.
I feel like I'm a Benfica player.
You know, also, this is the first time in my life I've wanted someone to say a grade. I've always been like, shh, don't say the grade.
So right. These are either transfers that are already official or have been reported as done deals.
Yeah, okay, dude, we don't need two sources, bro.
All right. Our first one here is Kyle Walker to AC Milan. What's your grade?
This is gonna. This
I literally
is the
said,
B.
Say a grade.
I'm saying it. This is gonna be a B for me.
C minus.
This is. Who's it? Emerson Royal is the.
That's
right
why
back.
It's not that's, a D. So because you're replacing someone who should have never won a trophy to begin with.
Some improvement. There and I'm curious just to see how he fits in with this team. We haven't seen Kyle Walker playing for a different team since he was at Tottenham, so it's been such a long time.
That's crazy. They're getting another Tottenham player,
right?
Emerson Royal now. Jesus, haven't you learned your lesson? I think he's a little bit old. He's almost a little too old. He's a little bit past it. Maybe there's maybe it's a different league, so maybe he switches it up. Maybe he's a little bit slower, so he can.
Yeah, but he's not slow. Let's not. It's Kyle Walker. Let's not
slower than he used to be. He doesn't have the pace that he had before.
Yes, but again, relative to the incredibly fast pace that Kyle Walker did have, it's not absolutely terrible. I just think what's been happening now is what's been happening with Man City as a whole, where like defensively they're just not really sound. They're just poor decisions. I'm more concerned about players like him not reading the game as well as he used to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And maybe since the game is a little bit slower in Italy,
right,
maybe he'll adapt
and
just fine.
Here's the thing. In order to win, in order to beat Napoli, in order to beat Inter, you've got to do more than just go out and get basically a retired right back.
Sure. I mean, I guess Serie A, retirement league. Let's go.
Shouldn't be.
All right. Next year is Kvicha Kvaratskhelia to PSG. What's your grade?
It's a C for me.
Oh, I was supposed to go first on this one.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Remember, we're swapping.
Oh, I didn't realize. Okay. All right. Yeah. I thought we were supposed to be instant. We
I'm only not have saying 90 anything seconds. Else. The whole thing was just say the list.
Silence is better than not giving the grade
B minus.
Okay. And your thoughts? Why?
What's your grade?
I said C.
Okay. We'll see how we did it.
And not because this is not a knock on him. He's a fantastic player, but we just watched the Champions League game. We saw how effective Bradley Barcola was. This feels maybe like. We're talking about Kvaratskhelia, but it feels like this is more of a sign for Barcola to be like, if y'all not gonna give me the faith and the trust on this left side, then maybe I'll go somewhere else. So,
here's my hope and why I gave it a B minus, because I agree with you. I think this is a great move for. Remember, Kvaratskhelia is still young
for him. For the money also, his wages are gonna go up significantly.
He went from 50,000 a week to 200,000 a week.
You ain't say no to that, bro.
But here's the thing: maybe Barcola stays left. Maybe Kvaratskhelia could go right and replace Ousmane Dembele, or the opposite. Barcola can go to the right and replace Ousmane Dembele. It feels like Ousmane Dembele is on his way out.
Okay,
and then if that's the case, then this was an A plus. But because if it's not, and we're not sure. That's why I gave it a B minus, somewhere in the middle, but still a very good move for Kvara.
Yeah, it's interesting. Is Kvaratskhelia is sort of the Lola Banta of Napoli.
You
right?
have to explain that.
So if some people may not be aware, is a midfielder in under himself with the Kansas City Current, who one of the better players. Severely underpaid.
Yeah,
so he deserves a pay raise, and PSG is where he's going to go get it. All right,
We're going to go MLS here. Wilfred Zaha to Charlotte FC.
This is an A. Love this.
A plus.
A.
I said this and people told me that I was crazy. Wilfred Zaha immediately becomes top five most marketable names in all of MLS.
Think
about it, right? Messi, Suarez, and then who? Giroud?
I mean, Giroud's pretty. I mean, that's.
Marketable.
Marketable. I mean, it's debatable. It depends on where.
Yeah, but Wilfred Zaha's vibes, bro. I'll
say this. Wilfred Zaha is going to be more effective than Olivier Giroud in Major League Soccer.
And hence, even more marketable.
This is such an exciting move. And I'm hoping we. You know, usually. Look, he's coming from Turkey. He's on loan from, where's he? Fenerbahce? Or where's he coming from?
Galatasaray.
And players, they'll go from the European leagues and they go to Turkey, right? And why can't MLS be the Turkey? You know what I mean?
Let's be the ham. You know what I mean? They already got the turkey.
Where they're not too old, but they're like maybe not really fitting in with their clubs. And you know, Turkey's like, the castaways that they send away, they're like, we don't know
but
what to do
Mourinho
with you right now.
Out there.
They do. I mean, but yeah, they get high profile names. I mean, the support and fandom there is incredible. Like players playing for Galatasaray in Fenerbahce. These are huge clubs in Turkey, and it's incredibly exciting. But MLS could also be that as well, and I think Zaha could be kind of is. Leaning towards pushing us into that conversation of like, hey, don't have to go to Turkey, but you can just come to Major League Soccer. Yeah. I love it, without a doubt.
All right, sticking to MLS, Miguel Almiron back to Atlanta United.
Okay.
A plus.
This is, I'm going to go,
A+.
I'm gonna go B.
You bugging. This is this is the godson coming back, bro.
I love the vibes of that because obviously the welcome is gonna be incredible. There's a little bit for me, a little bit of disappointment in him not finding a place at Newcastle, especially on a team that's playing really, really well. And I see how the fans, how Newcastle fans talk about him. Nobody's like, oh, we hate him. Couldn't do anything. He had moments where he was just incredible.
Won them over after the whole Grealish thing. He won them over. Remember, they're like, oh, you were so bad. You were Miguel Mino. And then look at what happened. He blew up after that. He won the fans over, but he still got legs. Now's the right time to come back to MLS. Come, you know, be a DP or a big TAM player, whatever it is. Get your money. Enjoy your life in Atlanta again, man.
No, it's going to be great. They're going
to
love
you. You don't have to live in Newcastle no more, bro.
We got you out of there.
Yo, airlifted you out of that terrible weather.
It's like that.
No seasoning, and you're going to a place that's all seasoning.
It's like that clip of, what's like a... I forgot his name. The dude that dances where the kitten is stuck inside the door inside like a business.
No idea what he's
There's
talking
like
about.
A popular meme or whatever, and that the kitten is stuck. The kitten is inside a closed business, and he's outside of it.
I'm gonna save you.
I'm gonna get you out of there.
Yeah.
That's Miggy right there.
Yeah, we done got you back, Miggy. Welcome back.
All right. Switching over to women's soccer. Naomi Girma on a transfer record transfer fee for women to Chelsea.
This is an A. I mean, this is record transfer fee being $1.1 million.
The amount of zeros in this transfer is a beautiful thing to see for the women's game. Bro.
So it's not completely official, but all the reports, Meg Linehan of the Athletic mentioned that it's going to be $1.1 million, which would be the record fee for a transfer in women's football.
And for those of you who don't know, this is Virgil van Dijk. This is William Saliba.
Yeah.
This is the best defender you've ever seen in your life.
Mm-hmm. And it's one of those things where it's like, you know, if we were standing next to Naomi Girma, nobody would be like, oh, this is the best. This is the best center back in the world.
Also, she smiled.
Yeah. It's just, and she's not the tallest or whatever, but she is just reads the game better than any defender in the world right now. But the one joke I really loved, and a shout out to Andre Carlisle. He had made a joke. Somebody said, "What is San Diego gonna do with $1.1 million?" And he said, "They're gonna pay their court fees." Oh,
that's still happening, huh? We ain't forgot.
Which is a banger right there. I don't even know. I hit the air horn for this time. Yeah. Anyway, okay. To Chelsea, a team that don't really need any more world-class players.
Right.
But, you know, you would imagine this will be what probably helps
Arsenal
them.
Get your money up.
Yeah, win a Champions League, which Chelsea are still chasing for a little bit.
Sticking with women's soccer, Alana Kennedy to City.
Alana Kennedy, Australian center back. Great here. I'm going to say A.
Yeah, I mean, if you need a center back, this is one of the best ones to go get.
Yeah, some people, well, you didn't say the great. Are you also saying A as well?
Yeah.
Okay. She's leaving Manchester City to go Angel City. Angel City gave up 42 goals in NWSL last season, second in the league. And I've said this many times, and we've been out there and hung out with a lot of Angel City fans. This team should be better. They should not be giving up 42 goals. They sell out several games. They mm-hmm. have a ton of support. They have, obviously, Kristen.
They got 55 owners.
55 owners.
All of them are, you know, celebrities. It's a walk of fame going in there.
So the fact that the team kind of just underwhelms so often mm-hmm. is disappointing. Because it should
be. What wins championships?
What'd you say?
What wins championships?
Defense, bro.
So you got to shore up that defense.
We saw Alana Kennedy for, you know, at the World Cup.
Yeah.
And she, again, a great defender. And I think we'll be able to help Angel City.
Australians also bring vibes, bro.
Without a doubt.
It's a great move.
And it's also, you know, it's a much shorter flight from, you know, from Australia to California.
There's no such thing as a short flight from to Australia.
All right, your last one, Carolyn to Man City.
I hate this. This is a D, bro. because it's a good move, but I don't want to see Carolyn go to Europe.
Yeah, this is a C for me, kind of for the similar reason. It sucks to see her, to see an MVP leave so quickly and to go to leave NWSL and go to WSL. But the North Carolina Courage to bring in Jaden Shaw, great move. So you're not super worried as far as when it comes to attacking options. And then Carolyn at Man City will bring, I would imagine, you know, Carolyn to me could be the next like Marta, right?
Yeah,
as far as really having the skill, the vibes, the technique to, you know, Marta offers something
she could take
more.
Over a game.
Yeah. Something more than
Carolyn is a game changer.
And so not having her in NWSL is definitely a bummer. But for it's a bigger conversation that we'll probably have in other episodes.
We need to, because it seems like Europe is starting to.
That's what I'm saying.
Trying to figure out they'll come here if we pay them a lot of money. And there goes NWSL.
So I also think there's a little bit of like people wanting to go play in Europe so that they can get better like ratings in EAFC, bro. Because the bias is crazy. NWSL gets no love.
Could be that. Could also be trying to get away from this terrible government.
That might be a little bit of it as well. Harapi, though, reactions, another one in the books. Carter, thank you so much for that. Thank you, everybody else, for tuning in to another episode of The Cooligans. We appreciate you. Just a reminder, a couple things. So we have a poll. We did the poll the first time for what was the next guest that you wanted on the show. Taylor Twelman won that last one. And we're going to do another one on our YouTube channel. So go to the YouTube channel. All the interviews that we did at MLS Media Day. So you can vote into it to decide what is the next interview you want, and that will air on Monday. Okay, so head to our YouTube channel if you have not, youtube.com/soccercooligans, and go vote. So it's a little choose your own adventure, Cooligan style. So feel free to participate. Like, make sure you subscribe while you're there to our YouTube channel, and subscribe to the podcast if you choose to listen. Anything else I missed? We're gonna be in Minnesota this weekend.
That's right.
Hanging out with
ISC. We're doing an outdoor event. Bring your flip flops.
Okay. Your finest Hawaiian shirts.
Yeah, we know you got them. I'm a last fan.
Not many people are brave enough to go to Minnesota in January. Minnesotans barely are. But
I told my mother I was going to Minnesota. She goes, for work? I go, no, for fun. I'm going to go to Minnesota in January for fun.
I'm going to, buy a glacier.
Damn.
To lease one at the very least.
I think they let you rent one for the weekend.
Home prices.
Like a jet ski.
Home prices are getting crazy. We might have to just buy ice in Minnesota. Go like Minnesota. Anyway, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll be back on Monday and with a bunch of great stories of hanging out with all the footy fans out in Minnesota.
What was the last time? What happened to me last time I went to ISC?
Not the last time, but the time before that.
Was that not the last time?
That was not. Last time was Baltimore.
Oh, Baltimore.
But Dallas was the...
Well, Baltimore was mixed. The last time we went to perform specifically for ISC.
Yes.
I pooped my pants.
You put your pants. So hopefully...
Legitimately. I had a wrapper.
My man pulled the Pochettino.
Yo, I didn't make it. I didn't have a cool security guard let me in. I had to throw out a pair of sweatpants and underwear. I wrapped it in a plastic bag and then a towel.
Okay. Runs that back. Let's go.
Yeah. And then I put it in the fridge, because where else do you put it?
Hey,
so you could sleep and not smell poop.
It's for the next guest to figure out. It's a little gift.
Well, I left a solid $10 bill for that cleaning lady. Perdóname.
All right, everybody. We'll see you on Monday. Thank you so much. Cheers.
Love you guys.